Well, good morning. I've met a lot of you before, but I'm just going to introduce myself anyway. My name is Hannah Place. I grew up in Brumham, but I've never been called an international speaker before. This is the first time. It's exciting because I actually live in Norway currently. So that's just at the moment. I am with, if I say YWAM, does everyone understand or do I need to? So YWAM, it stands for Youth with a Mission. So it's an international mission organization, which is in actually 180 countries now, which is amazing, and including North Korea. But that one's more low-key. It's more underground, as you can guess. But I get the joy of working for them. I was a student with them. I did one of their Bible schools for 9 months. And now I actually get to work for them. I'm helping run one of their schools, which starts in a month and a half, and then with the goal of going into full-time mission. So it's a bit crazy. It's been a bit of a crazy year. But last time I was here, I was saying how God called me to go to Norway to do this school, which was just a stepping stone for what I want to do. But if you told me a year ago that I'd be living in Norway with the goal of going into full-time mission, I would have laughed at you, thinking that was completely crazy. So here we are a year later. So what Richard has asked me to do is to share a bit about mission and what I've been doing in the past year and what YWAM is doing. And then I will go on to share about 1 John, if that's cool. Great. So the whole point of YWAM is to live out the Great Commission, which in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, which says to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, it doesn't just mean of like the really far out countries that it's really hard to get to, but it also means where you right are, like even to the people at your local Sainsbury's. It's like to go and share everywhere you go. And it doesn't say go when you feel like it, or go when you've reached a particular age, or go when you've walked with Jesus for like 10 plus years. Because I'm 19, I've walked with Jesus for 5.5 years, 6 years now. And if I can do it, anyone can do it, because I'm a small little 19-year-old girl from Brumham. And that's not to try and build myself up. That's to say that anyone can go and share Jesus. And we are supposed to do it in obedience. See, God is a father of love, and he has given us free will. So he wouldn't tell us to do this coming out of, like, cruelty, but simply because everyone deserves to hear and to know about the love of Jesus. Now, we all have a common calling to go, but my specific calling may be different to your specific calling. For example, at the moment I'm living in Norway, but the goal is to move to Nepal in the next couple of years. So on my school, I got the opportunity to go to Nepal for 2 months. And I've always liked the idea of being in mission, but I thought it would be in some European country where I could still wear jeans and it would be great. But I went to Nepal, and from the first few days, God just set my heart on fire for these people. And if you've never been, it's an incredible country. The culture is amazing. But it's completely different to here, completely different. It's all Hinduism and Buddhism. It's very, very strong in their culture. And I never thought that God would want to send me here. And just throughout the time I was there, I was loving it and I was loving it. And I was praying, do I need to go back here? And after I left, I felt that part of my heart was still in Nepal. So I get the joy of going back there next January for a few months. I get to lead the school and take them out to Nepal, which is very exciting. So if you'd be praying for that, that would be great, because that's a bit scary that I have to lead a team and most of them are older than me. But yeah, I just wanted to share some stories from Nepal as well, just to encourage you of what's happening. So when we were out there, there was a team of 8 of us. 6 boys and 2 girls. Living with 6 boys for 2.5 months is very interesting, but we survived, which is good. But one example I wanted to share was of healing. Now, when I went, something I've learned from this is to be more expectant, because when I went, I didn't really know what to expect. But now, since going, I know that God is going to be faithful, and I know that we are doing what he has told us to do. So therefore, why not be expectant? Because God is going to do great things. So we were doing a slum ministry, the group of us, and we were split into two teams, so there was four of us. And with our translator, because I don't speak Nepali just yet, it's a really difficult language. But we got to go to a slum, and we got to sit in this like little room with this family. And when you're a bunch of white people going into a Nepali slum, you attract attention. So we had about 15, 16 people come into like this small little room on top of the four of us and our translator. So it was a bit crowded. And there was a girl who just came and sat in the corner. And we were praying and talking with this family. We actually met this family five or six times. But the girl in the corner just really caught my attention. And I don't know why God was drawing me to her. So I said to our translator, hey, could you ask this girl like if she needs any prayers or anything we can pray for her for? Because people are actually really open to prayer. It's actually, I found it's easier in parts of Nepal to evangelize than it is here, which is crazy. And so we asked this girl like if anything we could pray for her for. And at first she was a bit like taken aback. She didn't really know how to react. And then she said that she had really bad pain in her back. So this girl was 22. She had been, it's common in Nepal for girls to get married very young. So she had been married for a few years, but then when she was 19, her husband left her. So this girl had been living 3 years on her own, had no family, and her husband had abandoned her when she was 19. So they got married, I think, when she was about 15. And so this girl was, she was quite depressed, but she had very, very severe back pain and been on medication for at least 5 years. So we said, hey, like Jesus wants to heal for you. Can we pray for you? And she was just like, who's Jesus? Which is the most heartbreaking thing to hear, that people don't know who Jesus is. And it's really real that so many people in this world have never heard of Jesus, which is why the Great Commission is just so important. And so we explained who Jesus was and we said, can we pray for you? And she goes, sure. So me and my translator, we put our hands on her back and we prayed for healing. We just invited Jesus and saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then we just felt this heat come into her back. And we were just like, oh, this is exciting, okay. And afterwards, like I asked the translator, I'm just like, can you ask her how it is? And this girl looked really confused and she goes, I can't, like, everything's, it's fine. Like, my back is fine. And we were just like, thank you, Jesus. And she goes, how did that just happen? And we got to explain to her about Jesus. And she didn't give her life to Jesus then. And that we don't need to be disappointed about that, because we planted a really big seed and her back got healed. And through that, we got to explain who Holy Spirit was. And just, it was an incredible time. But we couldn't see her for the next couple of weeks because we tried to get in contact with her, but she just didn't want to answer. So we were just like, oh, okay, we keep praying. And then we ended up going to her house before we moved on to a different place in the place we were in Nepal. And she invited us to her house, which was incredible. So we went to her house and her mother and her grandmother were also there. And unbeknown to us, this girl had explained to her mum what happened, and her mum was just like, I don't understand, how has this happened? So when we went there, we asked, like, how is your back? And she goes, I haven't touched the pain medication since, so praise Jesus. But through that, we got to explain to her mum, and her mum's just like, whatever you shared with my daughter, I want to hear about it, because she's not on pain medication anymore, and that is incredible. Like, how did you do that? And we were just like, it wasn't us, it was Jesus. And it's stories like that. This happened on our first time doing evangelism in Nepal. Like, in the first couple of days, we were jet lagged, we were exhausted, but we're still just like, God wants us to go to the slum today, so that's what we'll do. And he showed up and he was amazing. There's so many more stories. I could literally stand up here and tell you all the stories I saw in Nepal, but to save you falling asleep, because there's quite a lot, I'll carry on. But it tells us in Matthew 9:37 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, God's not going to send us all to Nepal, which I think might be a relief. My dad, when I told him gradually this plan, because it took my dad a while to come around to the idea of me living in Norway. I'm an only child, and I grew up with my dad. My mum died back in 2007, so it was just me and my dad for many years, and he just got remarried last weekend, which is very exciting. Bless him. But he was very apprehensive to how this was. But God's really worked on his heart and my heart and our relationship, which is amazing. But the thing is, God isn't going to send us all to Nepal. But he says all nations, which might mean a different country, a different culture, or your workplace, or your family, or the people in your corner shop. It can be anyone. And the thing is, as Christians, we really need people to share Jesus in the workplace. We really need people to share Jesus with their family. Because if you don't, then someone might not. So you might be the only person that can. And just to clarify that no person's calling is greater than another. They all do the same thing. We're all following the same commandment, which is to go. We're not following. So, for example, someone that's been a missionary for years and goes to countries like North Korea where it's like illegal, like their calling isn't greater than someone, for example, that is working in business and sharing Jesus. No person's calling is greater than another. But we all have a common calling to share Jesus and to go. And just before we go on to 1 John, one thing that used to always be in my mind when I was thinking about mission was finances. If it's somewhere that God has called you to, don't worry about money. Don't worry about your finances, because I have seen how God provides. He's provided for me. I've been to 11 countries this year. It's been very crazy. And God has provided for each and every one, because we got to, it was a few of us went to Turkey a few weeks ago, which was actually very near to the Syrian border, which we're said, it's like the Gov site says you're not supposed to travel there, but we felt God saying that you need to go there. We had good contacts there. We stayed with a family, and it was so fun, and people there are so open, and God kept us safe, and he provided financially for us. We didn't have enough money to pay our rent when we were out there, and then one day the money just came. And so really trust God with your finances. And yeah, that's what I really want to encourage you, is that we're all called to go. And it doesn't matter where we are in life, we are all called to go. So yeah. Also, I have a newsletter. So if any of you want to be kept updated, just give me your email as we leave and I can send you a newsletter. I try to do them as often as I can. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We're doing the first five verses today. Okay, now I believe you've been going through a series about 1 John. And while I was going over my notes last night, you can keep finding in your Bibles, I'm just gonna. But I felt I was supposed to reread 1 John. So I read it all again and I was like, oh, there's like, it all links together so well. And a recurring theme around 1 John is it's based a lot on love. John likes to talk about love, if you haven't noticed. He really likes to use the word love. So I just want to go through, because when preaching on five verses, I'm just like, oh, you can get quite a bit. But then when you really read it, you're just like, there is so much that you can get out of this. Like there is always, every time I read through a book in the Bible, it's like there is so much more that you can get every time you read it. So I just want to start with verse 1, where it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Is everyone there? Are we all okay? Just want to make sure we're all okay. Great. Yeah. So as I was saying, John talks a lot about love, but John wasn't trying to get across that you can earn your salvation by simply just loving others. It says that we are born of God when we believe in Jesus, which I'm guessing we all believe in Jesus, therefore we are born of God. And when we believe, we put our trust and whole heart in Jesus. There's not like half believing. It's like when we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we are born of God. It then goes on to say that everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Therefore, as Christians, we must also love others, his God's children, so like our brothers and sisters in Christ, which isn't limited to a denomination, to status, to your political viewpoint, or your own theological persuasion. If any of these things are bigger than our common salvation and the common lordship of Jesus Christ, then something has gone very wrong. And when I say common, I mean it's not to belittle our salvation, but it's something that we all share, if that makes sense. It then goes on to say that this is how we know that we... I misread my notes. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. A Christian who doesn't love God or keep his commandments is of very little effect in and of use of the body of Christ. See, a lot throughout this talks about carrying out his commands, so being obedient. It says in John 14, verse 15, that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So to obey is to follow God's commands, which he asks of each and every one of us. And we do this because we love him. I know I love Jesus. I hope you guys love Jesus as well. I'm sure you do. And we love him because he first loved us, as it says in the last chapter in 1 John 4:19. It goes on to say that, in fact, this is love for God. There is love again. John talks a lot about it. To keep his commands. And if his commandments, are not burdensome. When you think of the word burden, I think of it as it's quite a negative word. But the thing is, it's saying it's not a burden. It shouldn't be bad. It shouldn't be a burden to carry out God's work and his commands. And we're supposed to do it out of love and obedience to him, however hard we may think it is. It all comes back to the love of the Father. Now, some things may be difficult. The things that God calls us to do, we might not always want to do them. We might not always want to... If God calls you to speak to a person that you're walking down the street and you see a person, you feel you're supposed to talk to them. But you're just like, oh, I don't know if I can. What if they laugh at me? What if they say no? But it's the thing of, if God has told you to do it, then it's out of obedience. If you don't do it, God's not going to be angry with you. Like, he's not going to say you are a bad Christian because you didn't do that. Don't worry, because there are so many times where I feel that I have wanted to talk to a person, but I got scared. But the thing is, Jesus is true, Jesus is real, Jesus is alive. And when God tells us to do something, then out of obedience and out of love for him, we should do it. And don't beat yourself up if you don't do it, because Jesus forgives us, which is incredible. I would be nowhere without Jesus' forgiveness, which is great. But always think that go out of obedience and out of love. In John 16:33, it says, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." And it says, and carry on after burdensome, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." So John likes to talk about overcoming the world. So if we say and we believe that Jesus is the Christ, like it says back in verse 1, then we also have overcome the world because we are born of God. Not because of our actions, but because of who we are in Christ. Back in 1 John 2:15, it says, "To do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." See, it's so important when reading scripture to keep going back to make sure it's in context. Because when we take something out of context and we don't look at the other bits, then that's where scripture can get dangerous. So, as we are born of God because we believe in Jesus, then we have overcome the world. And this is all through love. So we don't have to think of these things that we have to love God, because if we love the world and then we have the world influences on us. And I'm not saying to reject the world, because there is still a lot of lost people out there, as we see in our society, as we see all over the world, that people are doing things that isn't out of love. And we see it a lot, and it really breaks my heart, and I can't imagine how it breaks God's heart. So really, always acting out of love. It goes on to say, "For this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Since believing in him is the key to being born of God, the key to victory is faith in Jesus. Having a consistent, not just on Sunday, faith that firmly believes and trusts upon Jesus Christ. Even though it seems like these verses may be repeating themselves, because he talks so much about love and being born of God throughout the whole book, to me, John is just re-emphasizing the love of God and how we should be obedient. See, in the previous chapter in 1 John 4, in verse 7, it says that love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. But whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, I know these words can be really confusing because they put them in an order where it's like you have to keep rereading it and rereading it to make sure it's like firmly in your head. But I don't think that John is trying to belittle love. He keeps talking about it because God is the Father of love. And that is what should be so, so strong, is that we should do everything in love. And in the last verse that we're going to look at, it says that, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. But if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we believe, then we are born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Therefore, we should all love each other. So it all comes back and links back. Even in just those five verses, they all link together. And we should always act out of obedience, but always act out of love. And even if people reject us, and even if people don't want to hear about Jesus, it's always acting out of love in whatever we do. We have to ensure that everything is in love and obedience. As if we believe with just our head, but not out of love from our heart, then it's not truly following God's commands. And like when Paul says in the beginning of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says that without love, I am nothing. We have nothing. So to always, always firmly believe and keep our faith strong and to always act out of love is what I really wanted to share with you today. And that when we read this, I'm just amazed, and I keep rereading it because when I first read it, it seemed so complicated. But when you break it down, to me, in my head, it's just become simpler and simpler. But nothing is simple about the love of the Father, because we could always go and love, but sometimes we're going to mess up and sometimes it's going to be hard. But God will always love, which is just incredible. Like, I look back at my life and some of the things that I've done, and I've messed up badly a few times, but still God loves me. And it's the same with all of us. So if we act out of obedience and out of love, then we are following God's commands. And I can't wait to the day where God says, well done. I live for that day where God says, well done. So just living out of love and of obedience for others. And I know I've said love about a million times, but that's the true message that I'm trying to get across here, is that we do, as a Christian, we do everything out of love because Jesus came to love others. And God sent his only son to love and save the world. As it says in John 3:16, where for God so gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, is just the love of the Father is so strong. And that's what I really wanted to share with you this morning. So I'm just going to take time of prayer, and if you guys want to join me, that would be great. Yeah, Jesus, we love you so much, and we thank you for your love. And we all come here today and we say that we want to be used by you. And Jesus, I thank you that you do want to meet us and you do love us. And Jesus, we want to obey you. We want to keep your commands. And so, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen each and every one of us in this room today, that you will give us more boldness, that you will really meet us here and meet us wherever we go, that you won't just meet us in church, but Jesus, that we'll reach out to you wherever we are, and we'll realize that we can have a strong relationship with you even when we're not in church, even when we're walking down the street, that Jesus, we can talk to you. I pray you'll lead each one of us into really going and to talking to people about you, but to always follow your commands and always obey. And Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us, our faith will just keep growing stronger, that we'll continue to walk with you and walk in you. And Jesus, we just come here today saying we're sorry for everything, that every wrong that we've done. But Jesus, that we just want to fully commit and fully obey your word, because that is what you tell us to do, and we want to honor you. And thank you that we get to be your children, and that you sent Jesus, and that you love us so much. So Father, we just want to praise you and glorify you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen.